Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Lee Ranaldo will probably always be best known as a guitarist in Sonic Youth, the group that many say paved the way for the gazillion indie rock bands currently populating the clubs and MySpace pages. But Lee Ranaldo is also a poet, a visual artist, and a composer. And tomorrow, the contemporary music group known as the Bang on a Can All-Stars will give the New York premiere of Lee's recent work, called How Deep Are Rivers. Lee Ranaldo, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hi, good to be here.
So I understand you're a fan of Malian music. We've just been talking about Amadou and Mariam. And
Yeah. I have some of their music, and I really like it. I haven't heard the new one yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to hearing it.
Do you see yourself as part of the same kind of global musical economy that has turned Amadou and Mariam into kind of international stars?
Well, I suppose on some level. I mean, the theater we operate on at this point is pretty widespread. We just came back from our first trip to Chile, which was amazing, both in terms of music we gathered from there and the concerts that we played there. And we play all over the world at this point. And now
when you play these festivals, it seems like half the bands sharing the bill with you are from West Africa, South Africa, South America.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. In particular, I have a connection with these guys, the master musicians of Jujuka.
From Morocco.
Yeah, from Morocco. I've been to their village and played with them both in their village and on other stages a couple different times and have a real affinity with that music in particular.
Now, when you say you've played with them, you plug in the electric guitar and just start squalling while they're doing their thing with the reeds and the drums?
Yeah. I tuned my guitar to their instruments. We were sitting on their porch in this little village. No electricity, no running water, but they had a little generator and a little tiny amp and a guitar that Chris Stein from Blondie had left there. And so we played stuff together, and it was quite simpatico in a way. It was really interesting.
Well, I mean, I guess relatively speaking, then working with the Bang on a Can All Stars must have been fairly workaday. You know,
well, you know, those guys are super good, and they can play so many different things. And it was really really fun and a privilege to be able to write a piece for them. That's for sure.
Well, you know, it's. How did it happen, first of all? I mean, you're a guy who's, you know, as I mentioned before, you're a musician, but you're also a poet. You work with words.
Yeah.
Is it different when you're working instrumentally like this?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of what we do in Sonic Youth and in other activities that I do. Mostly with Sonic Youth, when we create music, we're creating it before the words are even developed. So we're creating instrumental compositions. So that's kind of what we do. And for those guys, I mean, they're interested in being challenged by all kinds of different composers coming in and doing stuff for them. And I think that was the fun part for me, knowing what they had worked on in the past, who's worked. I mean, for one thing, Thurston wrote a piece for them as well. So
Thurston Moore, you know, the other Sonic Youth guitarist.
Yep, so they were already tapped into to our vibe.
Now, Thurston's piece, I remember, you know, that night when that was premiered here in New York. Largely, you know, there was some notated stuff, but largely improvised. Did you actually compose a piece for the Bang on a Can All-Stars?
I actually think Thurston's piece is completely notated. And my piece is less specifically notated. I mean, I've composed pieces in the past with traditional notations, and I wanted to do something that I thought maybe was a little bit of a curveball for these guys. So I created some sort of tonality clusters, you might say, that we worked within, so to give it some sort of a tonality, and then some loose instructions. I was trying to approximate, in a way, some of the working methods that we use in Sonic Youth, which I think in a very different way Thurston was as well with his piece. But, you know, we often work where we have instrumental sections where there's sort of signposts, like at the 10-second mark and then at the one-minute mark, and you kind of free in between. And so I tried to do something like that for them.
I want to ask you about this title, but first let's hear a little bit of the piece. It gets its New York premiere tomorrow night. It's a special, actually, it's a New Sounds Live event, our annual collaboration with the Bang on a Can All-Stars. The piece is called How Deep Are Rivers by my guest Lee Ranaldo.
Thank you.
That is the group known as the Bang on a Can All-Stars, based here in New York, with my guest Lee Rinaldo playing electric guitar, and the New York premiere of this work will be tomorrow night at Merkin Concert Hall on West 67th Street with the Bang on a Can All-Stars. And Lee, the piece is called How Deep Are Rivers, subtitled A Map is a Good Piece of Paper.
Yeah.
What?
Well, How Deep Are Rivers, it came about as actually a piece I was just starting the development of before they asked me to write something for them. And it was kind of a piece dedicated in memoriam to a friend of ours, Epic Soundtracks, a drummer from the UK who sadly committed suicide about 10 years ago. And he was a good friend of ours, and we had a mutual inspiration between us, you know. And so it started as something for him, and then when Bang on a Can asked me to do it, I wanted to mutate it in a way that was maybe a little less personal, a little bit less on the down tip, you might say. But it's still kind of a heavy meditative piece, you know, and it's got him in spirit in there. And so How Deep Are Rivers just seemed like a poetic title that worked somehow. And the subtitle, A Map is a Good Piece of Paper, my 8-year-old son mentioned one afternoon while I was working on the piece. And I was like, wow, that's a good line. I just stuck that in there.
So it's funny, you know, we come back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the program today, the emotional content of music. Mm. And, you know, even in an instrumental piece has no lyrics to kind of cue you in, you felt that there was like an obvious emotion that and you wanted to tamp it down a little bit or alter it for this.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't want the initial piece that I was working on had Epic's name in the title, and I sort of took that away. I wanted to make it a little bit less personal for this context, but still wanted to make it a piece in memoriam in a certain way. And it's got a pretty dark vibe overall, and certain aspects I was working with structurally with the group, I thought really they realized it really well for me, actually.
Speaking with Lee Rinaldo, Sonic Youth, the band you're still best known for playing with, is known as this quote-unquote noise rock band. Is noise a compositional element in this piece as well?
I suppose it is in some form. I mean, like I was saying, I was asking the group to stretch out a little bit. So we've used some extended techniques on the piano. There's chains rattling inside the instrument and lots of scraping of the strings and stuff like that. And some similar stuff with the cello and the bass. And, of course, their electric guitarist is a fantastic player. And so we've got some different noisy things we're doing together. And
But noise doesn't have to mean noisy. I mean,
true.
You have this piece called The Homeless Hairdresser, which is a lovely little piano solo that's completely undercut emotionally, really, by the sounds of a crowd just like
a champion
cheering.
Crowd. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, to me, it's all fodder for sound work, you know. So when I don't really think of sound in terms of noise and melody, they're just all different timbres, different textures, and some of them happen to be what other people call noise.
Piece from Lee Rinaldo called The Homeless Hairdresser. That's Lee at the piano. And this collage of, is this from a baseball game or a rock concert?
It's one of our Sonic Youth concerts.
Sonic Youth concert.
It's an audience tape.
Here's the thing. I mean, the music is very gentle and contemplative, and the audience is obviously really like excited and enthusiastic and stuff. After 30, 40, 50 seconds of this, it begins to me to sound almost ominous somehow or threatening. I don't know if that was your intention or what, but you know.
Well, I like the idea that it goes through these changes. I mean, you're faced with this very beautiful sort of lilting piano melody, and then the longer it goes on, you sort of wonder what these two things are doing on the same recording together, and that's kind of what I was going for with it.
All right. Now, when we talk about noise and noise rock and stuff, I mean, you seem to be drawn to drones, bells, especially bells with the initial attack cut off, so you just get the sustained bagpipes, as we'll hear in another
piece.
What is it about long, sustained tones that draws you in?
Well, you know, it's something I'm still trying to figure out. I think there's something really universal about it. There's something that approaches, I mean, on the one hand, it approaches something like the blood rushing through your veins, you know, that thing you hear when you put a seashell up to your ear. That's what that is. That sound is the blood rushing through the capillaries in your ears, and it has a droning tonality to it. I think there's something really primal about it, and the odd thing is you find it in the music of so many different cultures around the world, and somehow it's something, you know, from really it's also very meditative. You know, it can be in a sort of an electric guitar context, both really sort of rock and roll and energetic, and have this meditative vibe at the same time that's very tranquil and like almost zen-like in a way. You know, it's the music of the spheres, you might say.
And yet, you know, one of the first things you did on the New York music scene was working with Glenn Branca, who would write for these small armies of electric guitars. And if it was a kind of a droning sound, it was certainly not felt by most people to be a meditative one.
No, it definitely wasn't. But it was still centered around some very primal, you know, tonal centers that were really just hammered to death in a way, in one way or another. You know, it was very theatrical music as well as being wonderful on every level sonically.
But it also turned music into something that hit you with a kind of physical, visceral force.
Yeah. Which was, in a way, you could say, an extension of what rock and roll has always been trying to do. You know, the louder, the better, they would say, or whatever. I mean, it was really, I mean, with our music, we don't want it to be loud in the sense of it being painful, but we want it to really sort of be a physical element in the room with you, you know, that sort of takes hold of your body. Mm-hmm. And Glenn took that to an extreme, as he is wont to do.
Well, some would say Sonic Youth. Went out on a limb a bit there, too. This piece, Glacial Trio, this is electric guitar, bagpipe, and drums.
Right.
So the drums don't drone, but
But
the bagpipes certainly do here. It's not your usual skirling kind of thing.
Yeah. This is David Watson, a New Zealander living for a long time in New York, and Tony Buck from Australia on the drums. He plays in a wonderful band called The Necks. And myself, we have a little trio. We always have a lot of fun.
The Glacial Trio, and here's a little bit from my guest Lee Rinaldo. Glacial Trio, some droning electric guitar from my guest Lee Rinaldo, some droning bagpipes from David Watson, and drummer Tony Buck would drone if he could, but he drums instead. Lee Rinaldo's new piece with the Bang on a Can All-Stars called How Deep Are Rivers gets its New York premiere tomorrow night at the annual collaboration between WNYC's New Sounds Live and the Bang on a Can All-Stars at Merkin Hall tomorrow night at 8. But it's not just music, Lee, that you do. Your last book of poems was it still Hello from the American Desert?
Yep.
So what makes something a poem as opposed to the lyric of a song?
Well, you know, I don't know. That's an age-old question, you might say. Some things I develop in the context of a musical piece. And like I said, when Sonic Youth writes music, we mostly write the music first, and then we try and adapt words to fit. And so there's a lot of words always floating around. They don't all make it into songs, and some of them are used in different ways. In particular, the stuff in that book was derived from internet spam that came to me. I don't know. I think a lot of people get this kind of spam where at the end of the body of the text, there's just millions of words. It just looks like an exploded dictionary, just words without sentences, structure, or anything, just one word after another. And I've taken those as kind of a starting point and done a kind of surrealist automatic writing with it, where I'm taking them and I take out some words, add some words of my own, and sort of use the words as jumping off points for images and ideas. And so that book is all stuff like that.
So kind of the poetic equivalent of the found sound.
Yes,
that
exactly.
You use in your music.
Exactly, or like William Burroughs' cut-up technique or something like that.
Right. Well, Lee, I would be remiss if I let you go without asking you about the forthcoming Sonic Youth record.
Yeah.
When is it due?
It's coming out June 9th on Matador. It's called The Eternal. We're really excited about it. We're really happy with it.
And, you know, you all do your own things.
Yep.
Thurston and yourself and Kim. I mean, everyone's off doing stuff. Is it hard for everyone to come together?
No, you know, it's our main focus. You know, we really like to be busy, so we're all busy with lots of different things. But we managed to build them into the structure of what we do. And, you know, Sonic Youth is still something that's super close to our hearts and obviously a big part of all of our lives.
Is it eternal, as the title of the album would imply?
It may be. You know, you never know.
Yeah. So what is there a theme to the album?
No, I don't know if there's a theme. It's a collection of new songs. The cover painting I wanted to mention, too, because I thought you'd appreciate this, is done by the guitar player John Fahey.
Really?
So he was a painter, which not many people know. And between us, we've collected a bunch of his work, and we were happily enough friends with him for the last decade of his life. And so we chose one of his paintings to be on the cover, and it's a very abstract image of almost like a cosmos kind of swirl and in bright red. And so we've used a Fahey work in a different way, which we thought was nice. And in keeping with our, you know, we like to use artworks by different people on the cover. We sort of threw a curveball into it this time.
So John Fahey, for folks who may know the name and not the music, I mean, acoustic guitarist.
Mostly. Towards the end of his life, he was mostly an electric guitarist. But American Primitive, is that
American
how he's sometimes
primitive, right,
characterized, which is not really the case. He was very sophisticated.
Yeah, and I mean, but that was the term that was applied to his music.
Right.
Would you apply that to his visual art as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. Hmm. Definitely.
All right. So the album is due on June 9th, and it's coming on the heels of the Daydream Nation tour, where
yeah.
Sonic Youth, you know, just played through that classic Sonic Youth record front to back. Will this be vastly different?
Well, you know, I think it's informed by that period. You know, we played Daydream Nation was 1989, and 2 years ago it was time for us to redo it, and we hadn't visited most of those songs in a long time, and it was interesting playing through it. We're a very different band in some ways now, and yet in some ways we're still the same band. So kind of going through that was interesting to us, and it's kind of informed what we're doing now.
All right, Lee Ranaldo and the rest of the band, Sonic Youth, we'll hear more from them in June, but Lee is performing with the Bang on a Can All-Stars at Merkin Hall tomorrow night at 8. Lee, I will see you there and then, but a pleasure having you on the show tonight.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks a lot.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck this afternoon. Tomorrow on the program, the Depression left a lasting mark on the American popular song tradition. So what about the current economic downturn? We'll sample some recent songs on bank bailouts, bonuses, and more. Also, three Israelis who found their musical voice in electronic and gypsy sounds. It's Balkan Beatbox, live in our Soundcheck studio tomorrow. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau, and we had help today from Smriti Rao and Rich Rusinkovich. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC.